Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vicky Chat Global Perspective, broadcasting from the Mediterranean Sea through Blog Talk Radio in New York City. Chat room is open during the radio show, and podcasts are available for other times. Go to the website at blogtalkradio.com, Vicky Chat.
Hello, my love, I heard a kiss from you. Red magic satin playing near two. All through the morning rain again, the sun doesn't shine. Rain falls in.
We're talking with Leila Yaghi today. We're giving her a call. This is Vicky. Hello,
hey.
Leila.
Hey, Vicky. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, we're so pleased that you could be with us. Let's start out right away, Leila, just with a little bit of background about yourself and your family and how you ended up in North Carolina.
Okay, my mom is a white American, and my dad is a Palestinian American. And my dad came to Montana. He had a scholarship, and then he met my mom at the church that he used to attend, and then they got married, and I was born in Montana.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a story. That's very romantic.
And then I came to North Carolina because I lived somewhat, like about a little over 10 years in Jordan. And then I went to upstate New York, and I got married to a man who was very abusive. So I ended up coming down to North Carolina to get away from him.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. But now, but one thing that happened is you have just a really lovely son, just gorgeous guy. He's got the prettiest eyes I see from his photos on Facebook, and he just seems like a big sweetheart. Can you tell us about Ziad?
Well, he's kind of like me. He's an introvert, and he's shy, and he doesn't like to harm anybody. He would rather, like, harm himself than harm anybody. And, like, if anybody has him, like, if somebody did something bad to him, he likes to put the blame on himself instead of on somebody else. And he really loved animals, and he felt bad for any abandoned cats or dogs.
Oh, he's a softy. It's just very difficult. I know you're lonely for him, so let's tell the audience what happened. He decided he was going to go to a wedding to visit relatives in Jordan at the same time.
Well, because I lived in Jordan for a while, and his father is from Jordan, Palestinian Jordanian. So, in our tradition and, you know, in our religion also, we married young. Like, I got married when I was 18, and he decided when he turned 18 that he wanted to get married. And he wanted to also learn Arabic because, like, a lot of his friends spoke Arabic, and he felt like, you know, since his father is Arab and he has Arab background, that he should know some Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
So he went overseas to Jordan, you know. And even, like, in one of my visits to Jordan, I had him there. Like, he was born in Jordan.
Oh.
But, yeah, he automatically became an American citizen because, you know, both his parents and grandparents are American citizens. So, so he wanted to just go check it out. And since, like, most of the Yagi reside in Jordan, like a lot of my family, my dad lives there, his father's family lived there, his uncles, his aunts, his grandparents from both sides.
Mm.
You know,
I understand.
So
that's just the age. He wanted to make some family connections.
Yeah, so he went there and also to get married. And not, he didn't do anything illegal. He didn't meet up with anybody. He didn't do anything bad. He just met up with some young lady that they were interested in each other. And then she kind of changed her mind because she said, how am I supposed to communicate with him since he doesn't know any Arabic and I don't know any English? So she said, you know, I don't think it's going to work out because they were trying to communicate and he didn't know any Arabic, so he couldn't communicate with her.
Yeah,
and
it's hard.
He didn't know
any
English, so it didn't work out. And then the dowry system, like, he didn't know about that one either, so he didn't know that he had to have money to get married, like a lot of money.
Oh, that's right. That's true, yeah.
So he said, forget it, you know, I just come here to the United States and I'll get married to an American. So he still came back to the United States, and he still pursued, you know, a wife and getting married and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, the FBI, you know, were following him just because, you know, he went overseas and he's, you know, Arab descent and Muslim. And it doesn't make sense because, you know, all my family go back and forth, you know, to Jordan and then to United States, to Jordan and then to United States. But they singled him out because he's young, you know, and he's a male. Versus, if I went there and then I came back, then, you know, nothing would have happened. But just because he's a male.
Well, that's a very oversimplification of the human being, of the gender of a species. That's just terrible. And it was the FBI that gave the problems from the start?
Yeah, they just started harassing him and asking him questions. And he knew a guy who was very outspoken, one of the co-defendants now, you know, who's also in jail, but he took the plea to save himself and save his family because all these people were threatened, heavily threatened. Like, you know, they would really threaten them, tell them, oh, you're going to get the rest of your life in jail. You're never going to see your family again. And even they told his wife, like the ringleader, the one they call the ringleader, that, you know, they're going to put her in jail also if she spoke out. So there were a lot of threats.
So this is, may I ask, how did they first approach your son?
Well, they wanted him to say something against Daniel Boyd, which they call the ringleader, and my son said, I don't know what you guys want me to say against him. He didn't really have a close relationship with the guy, so he really didn't know what the FBI wanted him to say. So he said, I don't know what you guys are looking for, and just leave me alone. And then
Was he at school at university or in the neighborhood? I don't understand. Did they call him on the phone? How did that happen?
No, just because he went overseas. Okay, then they started coming to me, and then after he came back, they started, you know, bothering my son. And the reason they were really mad at the ringleader because he's an American white, was Muslim. And he was, you know, he could attract people, and he was like talking against the wars overseas. He was really against,
so
you know,
they
what was going
decided
on
to, yes, they
like
were
a
upset
punishment.
Mainly because they felt like this white person was betraying the nation or something. They
probably
is that
probably.
What I mean? That's what they tried to make you. That was the impression that they gave you. We don't know what their incentive was. Sometimes people only get promoted when they do certain things,
one of the FBI guys told a friend of my son that he's doing this so he can get promoted because he asked him, why are you doing this? So he said, I want to get promoted. And actually, later on, they did get, like, some awards, and probably they even got promoted, these FBI people. like, you know, that.
Do you have the names of those that you could privately share with me at some point? Because did you ever write down the names of the people? Because that was your right, that they had to show you identification, and you have a right to know their names and everything.
I know one of the names, one of the guy's names.
Okay. And you have a lawyer. Your son is now in Collins, Florida. Is that a U.S. military prison?
No, it's not. But it's not a good prison because they have him like in a cell on underground, like it's, you know, in a basement. And
good grief.
He's in something called the SHU, which means special housing unit, which means he's always in solitary. And every 2 days, I think, they let him out just for 1 hour. And he's only allowed to call me, like, once a month and only 15 minutes. And half of the time...
Well, that's abuse.
Yeah, it is. It's torture. They're using torture against him because they are so upset with him because he didn't take the plea deal because they wanted him to take a plea deal of 10 years, which meant... they came to him after, you know, 2 years of him being in jail because, like, the after 2 years and a half of him being in jail. So they came to him and they offered him a plea deal. And they told him if you testify against a ringleader, you'll get, like, a 10-year plus, you know, time served. So that means 8 years. Plus you only serve 80% of your time, which means you'll be out in 6 years, versus they were threatening him with life in prison. So my son said, I'm not going to lie against anybody. I'm not going to do that. So they got upset with him, and they kept trying to pressure him and pressure his co-defendants. At the end, they took the ringleader, and they pressured him, and they said they would drop a lot of his charges and that his sons would get out in no time. So he took it, you know, for his sons, I guess, and to save himself. He took the plea deal.
Yes, but you're using the FBI's word when you say ringleader. What you mean is that it's Daniel, the acquaintance, that Zahid had an acquaintance named Daniel, and that was the target?
Right.
Of the FBI?
Right. Their main target was not my son, but Daniel.
But Daniel.
Yes.
And I have a question from the chat room. Is your son near the town of Pensacola? Is he there?
I don't know, really. I just know
in Florida. Is it, the name of the town is Collins, where he's at, isn't
it's
it?
It's Coleman. Coleman.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm thinking Coleman. Coleman is the name of the town.
Yes, Coleman, Florida.
Florida. I please forgive me. And yes. And I wanted to tell you that he should, this is our guest in the chat room who used to be a paralegal, and that your son is supposed to get at least 1 hour per 24 hours outside.
No, they don't allow him out. Every 2 days is 1 hour. And it's actually torture. You know, they're trying to torture him. They're trying to punish him and me for not lying and deciding to go against Daniel Boyd.
And that's the other thing the guest is saying, that the FBI puts pressure on people to say what they need them, what the FBI needs the people to say,
exactly,
whether
it's
the truth
true.
Or not. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's called 5K1.
Yeah, the justice system has nothing to do with the truth. It has to do just with it's a system of plea deals. It's a corrupt system. So if somebody, if like there's many women who kill their children, okay, and then there's a lot of evidence that this lady killed her child, okay, yet if you know, they tell her take a plea deal, admit that you killed your child, you're off in 15 years, okay?
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily, you know, they know that she killed her child. If she did not kill her child, she's not going to take a plea deal. She's going to take it to trial. Well, my son did not hurt anybody. He didn't hurt anybody.
Exactly.
So he said, no,
that happens
not.
To a lot of innocent people because they refuse to admit that they did something they didn't do. And so what happens in the United States is people who admit their real crime, they get less time than people who refuse to admit.
Right, exactly.
And that's very bad. I wanted to ask you something, though. Perhaps he's more safe if he's in solitary confinement because he's not with the other people.
I really don't know, but it's not good for him mentally. He's been there for so long right now, 6 months. That's too long for anybody to be in solitary confinement. Imagine if you are in your own apartment where there's TV, internet, phone. You could do whatever you want, but yet they're telling you are not allowed to leave your house. Imagine how you would feel after a week. You would go crazy in your big house, but you're not allowed to open the door and go outside and see the sun. So imagine, or talk to people. Imagine if you're in a cell like by 6 by 9 or, you know, as small as a bathroom, maybe a little bit bigger, and you're not allowed to leave it. Imagine how you would be after 6 months. I'm so worried.
Well, it is torture. Yes. One thing that Guest is suggesting, he says that what they have done to your son and to you is called 5K1 under the federal sentencing guidelines scheme, and that prisoners tend to be more understanding, and he may even find help there from other people maltreated by the authorities if he weren't in solitary confinement. He had some. He also said to scour the 302s of the feds for clues as to how to help. I'm not sure what those are, but we can find out.
Okay.
And can we get in touch with your son, though? Can he accept packages like with books and CDs? Does he get to at least listen to music?
No, he can't. Only I think he's allowed 2 books to have in his position, and he can't listen to any music. And yeah, you could write him. You could write my son if you want to write him. But I heard that he doesn't get all the letters for some reason.
Oh, this is just terrible. And you have a lawyer, right?
Yeah, we have now. Before there was an appointed lawyer who basically made my son sink. You know, now we have a private lawyer. We're getting donations and stuff like that for my son. I was doing fundraising for my son, and we got some donations, and we got him a private lawyer, and now he's doing, you know, an appeal. But the chances for us winning an appeal is very slim, especially in these type of cases, because, like, the media portrayed Muslim people as, you know, terrible people, whereas, you know, we're very peaceful people.
Of course, yes.
And I want people to go to my son's website. I had some person volunteer and do a website for my son. It's www.freeziyagi.info. And there you see a lot of my YouTube videos and information about my son and what's going on.
And
also,
we can donate.
Facebook. Yeah.
And we can donate at that site that was made for your son, too. So I'm going to donate, yes, with my PayPal account. So I'll put that in the chat room, too, so it'll be easier for people to find. And then you've got I know you from your Facebook page and from our co-producer, Siraj Davis, arranging for us to have this interview. And your Facebook page, I'm really happy that you have it. I've noticed your son right away. He's just like a teddy bear. I don't know. He's just like a mom would think, oh, what a great guy. What a great son to have. Is
he
the best way to write?
He is. He's such a good boy. Like, when he used to come and see me sad, he would sit by my side, and he'd tap me on my shoulder, and he'd stay next to me and hug me, and he wouldn't, like, most of the time wouldn't tell me anything, just, you know, be there for me. And if I wanted to talk, he'd listen. If not, you know, he'd just be very, very patient with me until I opened up and talked to him and told him what was going on and why I'm sad and whatsoever.
How do we write to him? I mean, I know how, but I want to ask you so you can tell everybody. Is it best to write to in care of Omar Hassan?
No, Omar Hassan is his friend, who's also incarcerated, because he went with him on that trip, but they're both in 2 different jails. Ziad is in Coleman 2, and Omar is in Coleman 1. But I have the address up on Facebook, and I have it up on the website also.
Yes, yes. That's great. That's great, then. I guess just letters would be the best for him, or a short postcard or something. Because do they open them? Does he say that they're open before he gets them? Or
Most likely they open his mail, yes.
Mm-hmm. So we need to be careful about what we send.
Yeah, nothing political, just, you know, sympathies and, you know, just anything funny that might make him laugh. Or he's not allowed to have pictures, but he could have printed pictures, like, of the internet, if somebody wants to, you know, print a cat or a picture of a cat or a dog or of a baby or something funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Yes, and he likes animals.
Yes, he likes animals, especially cats.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, I know some really funny jokes that might cheer him up. I mean, that I've seen, you know, my daughters are the same age, so I can understand what would happen. I guess I can almost understand how you must feel. And I suspect because my daughters aren't very quiet, they might get punished even more because they wouldn't be as patient and quiet. And I just don't think it's fair. They can see that they absolutely know that your son is a nice person. They know it because they've spent time with him.
Yes.
And so to do that is just horrible. How do the guards treat him? Do you happen to know?
I think for the most part they treat him okay, but sometimes, like, they get on his nerve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people who usually are in a, you know, an authority figure or something like that, you know, they like to practice their authority on people. And
yeah,
especially because he's a Muslim, and the wrong information that they have against Muslim people and the
mm-hmm.
charges, you know, that are against my son, which are untrue, of course, that
mm-hmm.
all, you know, plays a factor into how the guards are going to treat him.
Now, I wanted to ask you, have you gotten in touch with King Jordan or the Queen in Jordan to try to ask for their help in having some kind of leverage to help your son?
No, I haven't. I tried on a website, and but it didn't work. But no, I didn't
okay.
get in touch with them.
All right. And I'm sorry, this is such an emotional thing. That do you have any other children?
Yeah, I have an older son. He's doing okay, but, you know, he's very depressed and upset about what happened to his brother, because he said he didn't deserve that. He said he was such a good boy that he didn't deserve to be in this situation.
Yes, and I don't understand how he ended up in a Florida prison.
Because they just kept moving him around until he ended up there. And
so
then most likely they said they're going to move him to a CMU, which is, you know, prisons just designed for Muslim people. They're actually built just to put Muslim people in there.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, this is exactly like what happened to the Japanese, you know, the Red
Scare,
where they put the Japanese in concentration camps. That's what
mm-hmm.
they're doing to Muslim people right now. They're putting them actually, you know, in jails, CMUs built, like, underground, you know, to keep Muslims away from, you know, the society.
No, that's just stupid. I mean, that shows the stupidity of the people who are doing it. And I imagine that there must be a profit in it then, since it's in the United States.
There's a big, big profit in this. You know, the judges make a lot of money. The FBI makes a lot of money. There's a lot of money that's given to the FBI. Billions of dollars are given to the FBI to supposedly catch a terrorist. So the
mm-hmm.
FBI wants to prove that there is terrorists, or there are terrorists here in the United States, and they go and they actually create, you know, terrorists. And then they say,
mm-hmm.
hey, we caught a terrorist. In my son's case, there was no plot or anything. Like, they, you know, usually the FBI sends an informant, and they give the informant so much money, and then they tell the informant, go and tell, you know, convince this guy to become radical and do such and such, and there's, like, so many steps during, like, a whole period of year or two, and then after that, you know, give him a bomb, and then if he does, tries to press the button, even though the other person knows that that's a fake bomb, then they put them in jail and say, you know, that person was trying to, you know, bomb whatever. In my son's case is different. In my son's case is different. The informant was sent to Boyd to you know, whatever. He recorded Boyd saying some stuff like against the war and I'm not sure also what. But my son was not on any of these tape recordings, on none of them. So it shows you, you know, there was no proof against my son whatsoever. But because they want to punish my son, one of them punished my son because he did not lie against, you know, a person, another person. They want to punish my son. On top of that, the FBI, when I asked him, why is he doing this, when he kept coming to my house, he said, I feel like your son knows something, and if we put so much pressure on your son, then eventually he's going to say something. Yeah. So in other words, you know, they want to tell my son what to say, you know, because all of these cases, there's no evidence against them, or they're very, very weak. And unless they have somebody to lie and say, yes, this is what happened, because it's all hearsay, then, you know, they'll actually have something convincing. Otherwise, there's no cases. They're very, very weak because there's no basis to them.
Exactly. Also, is this prison part of a private prison system?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'll find out.
And I know that they do make money. It's just, you know, a corporation. These prisons are just corporations making money out of these inmates.
Well, where was he? I'm just sort of speechless because this is just every mother's nightmare, I think. And he's an American boy. The target, Daniel Boyd, is an American. And there's supposed to be freedom of speech, for one thing, in the United States. It's not illegal to give your opinion and have an opposite opinion as long as you're not hurting anyone. And they weren't hurting, that Daniel Boyd wasn't hurting anyone.
No, he wasn't hurting anyone, and even, like, whatever he said, like, again, that falls under his constitutional rights, and if a non-Muslim said that, he would not have been in jail. But because, you know, we are Muslims, therefore, you know, you're going to be punished if you say anything.
Yes. There is a very, for some time, some shifts has been going on in the United States. For example, a couple of decades or so ago, starting out with the privatization of the prisons, and then with the two presidential terms being held by Bush and Cheney, that has changed the whole flavor of appointed officials in the federal government system. I'm not only the Supreme Court, but all throughout the system, the state level also. So there have been a lot of judges taking advantage of their position of power to make money, even to the point of taking quote-unquote juvenile delinquents and saying they couldn't live at home anymore and had to live in a special housing for young children who were troublemakers, because the judges got a cut of the money that was made from that housing system. So it's hard to imagine, if you're a nice person, all the things that the bad people can come up with. That, as far as I can tell, that's a big part of the problem, because it's hard, once these things get started, to stop them.
Yes, and it's then, a very, very corrupt system. It's a very corrupt system.
Yes.
Because even, you know, Boyd, when he testified against my son and he was cross-examined, they asked him, was there any conspiracy going on between you and Ziad Yagi? He said no. So more than that, you know, he's benefiting from testifying against my son, yet he said there was no conspiracy going on between him and my son, and there was no plan to hurt anybody. There was no plan to do anything. So, the judge gave my son 31.5 years for doing nothing, for doing absolutely nothing. I know there's, for every action, there's a reaction. There was no action done by my son. So how can he be put in jail for 31.5 years? He shouldn't even be in jail for one day, let alone 31.5 years.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Discrimination in itself. This is injustice.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the whole world needs to know what's going on here in the United States to Muslim people. People need to wake up and say that this is like a conspiracy against Muslim people.
Absolutely. Well, and it's not even a conspiracy. It's all out in the open. I mean, people should be able to see it, absolutely. Also, I think that the harassment by the FBI, I don't understand how that type of harassment can be legal. And that people like yourself and your son don't have some kind of legal protection against that type of harassment just from the very beginning. But I can't think of anyone
they harass
that you could call. And,
most of our community, they harass most of our community. If you are going to be a good witness character for Ziad, then you are going to end up to be in his place. Or if you don't tell us what you want us to hear, then you're going to be in his place. So I had a young man come to me and tell me that he's very scared because he was threatened by the FBI. And it's like, why should you be scared? You only should be scared from God because, you know, okay, yeah, they do have some control, but, you know, at the end, if you didn't do anything wrong, you shouldn't be scared. He said, well, your son didn't do anything wrong, and look where he's at right now. That's what the young man came and told me. Well, your son didn't do anything wrong, and look where he is right now.
Oh, dear. Yeah. But people absolutely have to stick to the truth or they'll have no self-respect, number one. To keep their own dignity, they have to tell the truth. I just don't understand. The first lawyer that you had then was no good. Didn't help your son at all, right?
No, he actually harmed my son because you know, he didn't properly defend him. He didn't put his time in it and his energy. So.
This one person says in the chat, quote, as an oppressed American, that there is a legitimate concern with protecting our citizens from attacks. So Muslims must continue to fight against our own who might commit terrorist attacks. I don't understand exactly what this person is saying.
That sounds very
ignorant. Oh, but he's
to
saying that it's an old line, if you did nothing wrong, then you have nothing to worry about, is the biggest lie. The police are never trying to help. Okay, that's what he's saying. Because the whole fear in the United States against Muslims is absolutely, it's a made-up fairy tale. It's a groom's fairy tale. It's about forcing someone to be good. It's a Northern European fairy tale that, you know, be good or you're going to be torn to pieces or something. Yet when you look at the real world, look where all the bombs are. There were people dying right now in Palestine. An 11-month-year-old baby was killed. Hey,
right.
Isn't everyone afraid of an 11-month-year-old baby? 11 months old killed by Israeli attacks.
Right,
this
right.
is just ridiculous. And they say that the Muslims are who we need to be worried about. It's in Syria, in Yemen, in Libya. I mean, around the world you go, and it is exactly the opposite of the truth.
Exactly. So they're using basically my son as a scapegoat. Hey, you know, there are terrorists here in the United States, and that's why we're over there killing all these people. Because, look, we caught a terrorist, you know?
Oh, exactly. It's an excuse. But let me tell you who were the real terrorists who really had a plot. They were white Floridians in Florida who had a plot. They had been in the military there, and they were plotting to take over the government of the United States and kill Obama. And they were not Muslims at all. There's no talk about the right wing, and that is the part that they should be afraid of. That is who people should be afraid of, because they could get into the crossfire of the right wing, as they did in the Oklahoma bombing.
This guy is very, very smart. Again,
well,
people can join me on Facebook under Layla Yagi, LAILAYAG as in good, HI. Layla Yagi.
Okay, that's very good. And I wanted to give the address for the Frisiad Yahagi page, because it's really important to go there. You have how to make contact.
Yeah, frisiadyahagi.info.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's free, Z-I-Y-A-D, Iziad, his first name, Yahagi, Y-A-G-H-I, his last name, dot I-N-F-O.
Yes.
And I think that it's got very nice design. It has some nice photos of your son. And it's very good that I like this Dare to be a Muslim in America, because let me tell you, that really is a dare. It isn't a simple thing to be a Muslim in the United States right now. I'm very sorry to say that. But I can tell you there are places where whites do. I'm white. And I'm Christian, and there are places where Muslims are absolutely welcome in the United States. It's not everyone, and our only hope is that the people who are not racist against Muslims or ignorant about the Muslim Islam religion, and people who aren't so money hungry and money grubbing that they'll do anything, even be cruel to other people. There are more people who are kind than they are greedy.
Exactly.
But I mean, yes, and we all need to stand up, and we need to do what we can. I think the steps that you've given us right now are, number one, go to the free ZiadYahagi.info webpage. Two, send Yahagi a nice cartoon about animals, which I can think of some hilarious ones, so that he'll have a little bit of a laugh. And then I think your Facebook page, too, would be good for people.
There has to be some kind of change, because people need to change these oppressive laws. We have to write petitions, sign petitions. There has to be some people who are supposed to be genuinely defending innocent Muslim people who are not doing anything. I went to Washington last weekend, and we met with a lot of families who are going through this. NCPCF, National Coalition to Defend Civil Rights, or something like that, is an American, you know, organization that opened to defend Muslim people. They invited me to go there and the families, and I met with so many families. And some of these families, you know, you look at their faces, and the pain is so horrifying that, you know, I took more pain just me going up over there, because I brought so much pain and stress with me when I see mothers suffering like that for their children. You know, a mom, her son is schizophrenic and bipolar, and the FBI, you know, or the police went to him and arrested him. And now she's saying, I know my son didn't do anything, but I want him to take the plea deal because I don't want him to spend the rest of his life in jail. And she said, I am going to make him take the plea deal because I don't want him to spend the rest of his life in jail. Look where your son is in. So that's an example. Now my son, 31, 25 years, and other people, you know, for the rest of their lives. Another mother said her son is basically borderline retard. Another mother, and the FBI went to him and tricked him. Another mother said her son is, his IQ is like 78, like very, very low, and the FBI tricked him. So the FBI goes after the very naive people who have mental problems, go after them, and then trick them into doing something. And even though, and pay money for the informants, lots of money, and then when they come to do something and they know they're not doing something, then the FBI puts them in jail. What kind of system is this? What kind of
it's
system is
ridiculous.
This?
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They're just like children playing games, being bullies on the playground, and they're doing exactly the same thing. But now it's not just that a child has to be protected by teachers and parents. Now they're doing it to adults and using the system against the innocent people.
Right.
So I agree with you.
There's the Newburgh Four, where some African-American who were in jail, and then they became supposedly Muslims in jail, but they weren't really Muslims. Like, they weren't even practicing their religion. They came out of jail. They went out of jail, and the FBI was after them and send informants and that they will give them so much money if they do such and such and such. One of the guys, I know his aunt, she said he knew it was a fake bomb, but he just wanted the money. You know, if you give somebody so much money and say, here, this is a fake bomb, press a button, and, you know, he knows it's not going to harm anybody. And he presses the button so he can get so much money so he can buy a car or have, you know, get out of the ghetto or whatever. And he knows it's a fake bomb, but yet, you know, the FBI goes and charges him. Well, the FBI is the one who set up the whole thing. How can that even make sense? How can that make sense? All of that so they can say there's terrorists here in the United States and we're catching terrorists. All of that is just because of that.
It's very cruel. It's very cruel. It almost makes you think that this is hell on earth, or at least purgatory, because they've ruined the paradise has been ruined. I think we should wrap it up. But I would like to, you have time to say whatever else you would like to say, Layla.
I just like to say that people should turn off their TVs and not listen to the media, because the media lies about everything and they brainwash people, and that to see the people, like the Muslim people, for who they really are. We are really good people. Most of us have very high moral standards. We don't do a lot of things that are wrong. We do a lot of things that are right. We go out there and we help the homeless. My son used to help the homeless people. He used to bring homeless people into our house so we could feed them. He used to get so upset when he sees a guy standing up in the rain that is homeless, and he used to say, this shouldn't be like this. You know, he was just a very, very generous person. And they need to see us for who we really are, not listen to the media that is part of a corporation that tries to portray Muslim people as bad people just for their own benefits so they can go and rob their resources.
Exactly.
And then,
we all need to stand together,
whether we're Muslims or non-Muslims, for what is right. We're all humans. I have a heart.
Exactly.
I'm very depressed every single day. I can't even function properly because of what happened to my son. And all these families that I've met, they aged tremendously, like in the 3 years that I've seen them, just because they're so sad and oppressed. It's sad. There's no reason for this to happen to us. This justice system all has to change. It shouldn't be about corporations and about money. It should be what is about justice and what's really right and what's wrong.
Most definitely. Well, all we can do is not give up. What we have to do is continue to attempt to make a difference. And if we can make a difference in your life, and if we can help Zaid, that would be worth $1 million and more. That would be a very precious thing. I want to urge everyone who can help Zaid in any way, even in just going to his www.freezaidyagi.info. Go there and do some and look at the pictures, listen to the poetry, become informed, and then share the information. If you don't have enough money to help with the legal process, that's understandable. But if you do have enough money for a stamp just to say you care, that's another thing that doesn't take money to just be worth a priceless amount to a person to know that people remember them, that even though they're stuck away in a filthy hole, that if there are people working all around the world trying to free them. Layla, thank you so much, and we will do our best to get as many people informed about Zaid. We will spread it in Greece, in Europe, and around the world. And this chat, Blog Talk Chat Radio of Vicky Chats, Global Perspectives, is also a podcast, and you're most welcome to put it on your son's website so that people can hear your voice, the mother's voice, talking and telling the truth. I think that's more moving than anything else in the world, is to hear a mother's voice talking about their child. It's true that the media in the United States in particular is a media monopoly, and that's why you don't get more than one opinion, no matter how many channels you listen to. And one thing that we're trying, that's why one thing we're trying to do is just make a little dent in that by informing people. I hope that we can talk to you again. I have someone in the chat room, and I will be sending you their email because they would also like to help you.
Thank you, Vicky.
And thanks so much, Layla. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Layla will be in touch. And please tell your son we love him and we're thinking of him.
Thank you, Vicky, so much for having me. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Goodbye now. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.